Our epistle, first scripture reading this morning, comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter. This is the story of the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 15, 26 and 27, and chapter 16. "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, 10 days after the ascension of Jesus into heaven, as the apostles gathered in at the Jerusalem temple on the morning of the Jewish festival of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit suddenly made himself known by appearing as a flame above the head of each apostle. And then he caused each apostle to speak in a language that was foreign to them, a language that the apostles did not know. It was a miracle. Each apostle speaking a different language, so that those expatriate Jews living in other countries who had returned to Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost could hear the gospel proclaimed in a language they understood. The apostles weren't babbling. They were miraculously speaking a foreign language they themselves did not understand. The purpose was to encourage the apostles by demonstrating that they were not alone in the formidable task that Christ had bequeathed to them. The day of Pentecost assured the apostles that the Holy Spirit was with them and empowering them as they set out to proclaim to the world the gospel of forgiveness and reconciliation with God. But the work of the Holy Spirit didn't begin or end on the day of Pentecost. Nor is the work of the Holy Spirit always what we'd describe as miraculous. In fact, usually the work of the Holy Spirit is invisible to us. We don't see it. It's imperceptible. So what is the work of the Holy Spirit today? What does he do? Well, that's a controversial question. It shouldn't be controversial, but it is. So before I talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, I'd like to speak from the perspective of Reformation theology as to why there are differences of opinion within Christendom regarding the work of the Holy Spirit. Briefly, what are the differences in understanding, and where do they come from? In 12th century Italy, there was a monk named Joachim Fiori who developed a theory based on his reading of the book of Revelation that history is separated into three eras. First, the age of the Father, which spanned from creation to the resurrection of Jesus. Then the age of the Son, lasting from the resurrection until the year 1260. And then, according to Fiori, would begin the age of the Spirit, which would be the era when mankind would come into direct contact with the Holy Spirit. So this is what Fiori was saying. The means of grace, the word and sacraments through which God instructs and encourages and forgives us, according to Fiori, those were going away in the year 1260. God's written word would be unnecessary, as would be baptism and communion. Unnecessary. Because we'd be in direct contact with the Holy Spirit. Fiori became famous in his day for his ideas, and he was sought after for advice. If they'd had late-night TV talk shows back then, he would have been a popular guest. But in the century after his death, the ideas of Fiori were formally condemned as contrary to Scripture, as they should have been. Read the first few verses of Hebrews, or listen to the words of institution Jesus spoke at the Last Supper, or the Great Commission to go and baptize. According to Scripture, God comes to us through His Word and His sacraments. Eventually, Fiori slipped into the deep of history. But here's the interesting thing. Ideas don't die easily. Often even bad ideas don't die easily. especially ideas like theories that appeal to our desire for autonomy and control and special knowledge, a direct line to God, ideas that elevate us personally and set us apart. Read Genesis 3. Imagine the seductive power of direct revelation from the Holy Spirit that no one can challenge because it's a personal revelation. 300 years after Fiore, the two greatest leaders of the Reformation, Martin Luther and John Calvin, both strongly condemned the idea that the Bible, God's Word, and the sacraments instituted by Christ were now unnecessary. And now we simply communicate directly with the Holy Spirit. But despite strongly worded condemnations by the greatest minds of Christendom, Fiore's ideas did not die, but in fact were kept alive by strains of Christianity through the centuries, influencing millions who had no idea where their beliefs originated. According to theologian Michael Horton, when you hear someone repeat today's very common mantra, "I'm spiritual, but not religious," you're hearing the echo of Fiore's heresy. Or, if you seek a word from God, apart from God's word, that idea can also be traced back to Fiore. So, who cares? What does this have to do with you or me? Well, I hope it explains why we're often confused about the role and purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If the Holy Spirit isn't busy directly communicating with you, what is He doing? Well, the Holy Spirit has always been busy. He was the active agent in the creation of the world. He appears throughout the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was the creative agent when Mary became pregnant with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is mentioned as a gift given in baptism. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will empower the church. He'll be a guide and a helper and a source of enlightenment to all of us. But while His work is absolutely critical, the Holy Spirit is always in the background. The focus is always on Christ. And it's in the same quiet way that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The primary and most important work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to convey faith to you and to nurture faith within you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "You've been saved by grace through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God." If faith is the gift of God, how does that work? It's the Holy Spirit working through God's Word and sacraments who instills faith in you. Read 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. Theologian Rod Rosenblatt said, "God deals with us through word and sacrament, and they're meant to go hand in hand with the Spirit. It's through the Spirit that the word and sacrament accomplish what they set out to do." And Martin Luther in the Small Catechism said, I've quoted this many times, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, God's word, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." In other words, the Holy Spirit enables us to have faith. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. But you most likely will rarely notice the work of the Holy Spirit. because he doesn't come to glorify himself, but instead to glorify Jesus. Read our gospel lesson again. Sitting in your seat this morning, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, even a glimmer of faith, even a mustard seed of faith, that's evidence of the Holy Spirit working in you. If you recognize your own sinfulness, that's the Holy Spirit at work. If you believe you've been forgiven, thank the Holy Spirit. You know, we read in Acts just a few minutes ago that the Holy Spirit enabled the apostles to proclaim the mighty works of God in languages they did not know. Well, what were those mighty works? The mightiest work of God is our forgiveness. And that means that us who struggle with our own sinfulness and self-centeredness and hatred and anger, us who struggle with faith and wrestle with doubt, us who've let others down, us who've failed, we're loved and forgiven and accepted by God. And we can have real hope that we'll be healed. So sinners like us, which is all of us, can be at peace. And when you're grieving and despairing and hopeless and lonely, when you're searching for a good reason to carry on, when you feel abandoned, when you feel like it's over, the Holy Spirit reminds you that God will never leave you or forsake you, so you can rest. And when you're afraid of what happens next, and you feel your grip slipping, it's the Holy Spirit who reminds you that it's not your grip that matters. It's God's grip. And God will never let go of you. Because God so loved the world, so loved you, that he gave his only Son for you, so that you who believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. You'll be in heaven someday, wrapped in the righteous robes of Christ. That's God's mightiest work, and it's for you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great gifts to us. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that enlightens and guides each of us, who works with your word, Heavenly Father, to communicate to us. Lord, help us to rightly understand and appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love and your compassion and your mercy to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.